Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Juravich. As kids head back to school, we're looking at why so many students are no-shows during the school year. Even with strides to improve chronic absenteeism rates, it remains a significant hurdle for educators. Columbus City Schools, the largest public school district in the state, has an absenteeism rate of over 50%. A look at the rest of the state shows almost a quarter of students miss 10 days or more. Ohio State professor Aria Ansari is a faculty associate at OSU's Crane Center for Early Childhood Research and Policy. His research focuses on the role of publicly funded preschool programs in shaping children's success in school and how home context promotes the early education success of children. Chronic absenteeism is one of the issues that he studies. Welcome to All Sides.
Thank you for having me.
So your team worked with Columbus City Schools. An absenteeism rate of over 50% seems quite high, and it is higher than surrounding school districts. What are some of the attendance challenges of a large city school system like Columbus? What do they face?
Yeah, so the issue with chronic absenteeism is it's a multifaceted issue. Students and children miss school for a variety of reasons, and the issues that Columbus City Schools face isn't necessarily unique to them. It's comparable to many other urban districts across this country. We know at the stem of it, one of the key factors in school absenteeism and chronic absenteeism is poverty. Children in poverty are far more likely to be absent from school than children who are not in poverty. And this is because of the multitude of barriers that they experience, such as issues with housing instability, food insecurity, not being able to make ends meet. Issues with mental health, physical health, both of the child and of the family, you know, issues in the community, neighborhood safety, getting to school, transportation. Some students have to walk and parents might not feel comfortable with their children walking. So it's a multifaceted issue, and each of these concerns or barriers sort of add up and tally up to some of the rates of chronic absenteeism that we see, not just in the district, but across this country.
We should back up and say, can you talk to me about what is chronic absenteeism? Like, what makes it, the word chronic, get added in there?
Sure, absolutely. So chronic absenteeism simply means a student is absent for 10% or more of the school year. It could be for excused reasons such as sickness, visiting college. It could be for unexcused reasons such as a parent not calling in or a student ditching school. But it also includes suspensions. If you add all those absences up and it is more than 10% or more of the year, that is now classified as chronically absent, which many schools use to sort of benchmark their school health.
Yeah, I feel like I should know how many days equals 10% of a school year, but I guess I don't, because schools count things in hours now, and I don't know how long a school, like, what is 10%? Is it more than 10, 15 days?
Sure. So many schools operate around about 180 days, so it's about 18 days, and here in Ohio, we do hours, so it would be the equivalent of 18 days of school. And the important thing to note here, at least in our state, is part-day absences, being late to school, those hours also add up. So it's not just being absent for the full day, but leaving early, coming in late, those hours also count. So it becomes a little bit more tricky in terms of that calculation.
If you come into school late every single day for a month, that'll really... But yeah. You're still there, but it'll add up.
That does add up, absolutely.
Okay. Now, I've seen the numbers, and that 50% rate for Columbus City Schools is an improvement from the past couple of years. So did something change? What has changed in the past couple of years that led to a slight improvement in the number?
Yeah, so I think it peaked around 65 to 70%.
That was post-pandemic.
Post-pandemic, mm-hmm. Very similar rise across the country. And now it's in the mid-50s over the last past academic year. The exciting thing is it's that the district has invested a lot in a lot of infrastructure and a lot of campaigning around promoting attendance. You know, they've built partnerships with community agencies, folks in the community, such as the Columbus Crew, around promoting the importance of regularly attending school.
Is that the Get in the Game campaign?
The Get in the Game campaign.
I've seen those
yes.
signs, yeah.
But then they've also invested in multi-tiered strategies, some that are targeted for all students, some that are targeted more at students who are more frequently absent. So they do text messaging, they do mail nudges. Your student has been absent for 5 days. Do you know how that might compare to other students similar to your students, similar to water bills, where you can sort of see how your water bill is relative to other similar households? Mm-hmm. But they've also invested in making those connections with families, checking and connecting, calling, trying to understand what families are experiencing, what those barriers are, and helping connect them with the resources that they need. And so they've taken a holistic approach, which is exciting to sort of see being undertaken as we sort of navigate this post-pandemic, these post-pandemic rates in chronic absenteeism.
Another word we hear is truancy.
Yes.
What is the difference between being chronically absent or excessively absent and being truant?
Sure. So truancy is unauthorized absences or unexcused absences. There's different thresholds. It depends. So if you have, 30 hours of unexcused absences in a row, that can label you as truant. Then if you have a certain amount of hours across a school year, not necessarily consecutive, that can also label you as truant. So you can be chronically absent but not truant.
Is that if you have maybe doctor's notes showing that you have been ill, or if parents actually call instead of just letting it go? Is that the difference?
The difference is, yeah. So if you call, that's not unexcused. If you don't call, that is going to default to being unexcused. Mm-hmm. And so anything that's not being documented for a valid reason, at least according to the district and the state, that is going to be in the unexcused category.
Hmm. Okay.
That can ultimately result in being labeled or classified as truant.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about chronic absenteeism with Ohio State professor and researcher Aria Ansari. So when people think of a truant kid, they probably think of like a sullen teen in their bedroom refusing to get out of bed and go to school. Is that reality? Is that true? Or talk to me about Is it always high school kids who won't get out of bed?
That is the typical thing we see in movies, right? Mm-hmm. We think about those high school kids not wanting to go to school. The reality of the situation, though, is we see some of the highest rates when children are starting school in preschool and kindergarten. Those rates of chronic absenteeism are far exceeding the elementary middle school years, and they're quite comparable to what we see in the later high school years.
That surprises me, because when I think of a kindergartner, I think of them being so excited to go to school. So tell me, why are kindergartners missing school?
So there's a variety of reasons. We have found that the core reasons are not that dissimilar. There's issues with food insecurity, issues with transportation, issues with health. We know, especially at the youngest ages, like in preschool, being sick is a very common thing. Mm-hmm. When kids start school for the first time, they're building their immune systems, and sickness is a very common thing.
A whole new field of germs. Yeah,
it is a whole new field of germs. And yes, that is as a parent of a toddler, that is experiencing that on a regular basis. So it is. They're comparable, but there are also some uniqueness to the early childhood period. And I think the other thing that we sometimes hear is, it's preschool, like what might be happening. They're just playing. But the reality of the situation is every day counts in preschool and kindergarten as well, because there's in that play embedded in that is a lot of learning, math, science, literacy, socio-emotional skills that set the bedrock or are the foundation for K-12.
I do want to say that we reached out to have Columbus City School Superintendent Angela Chapman be a guest today to talk about the Columbus City Schools absentee rate and what they're doing to improve it. But she wasn't available because we're speaking here during the first week of school.
Sure.
So, but are you seeing that with Columbus City Schools? Is it the 50% that we're talking about? Is it K through 12?
So, yeah, we're seeing slightly different rates across the K-12 period. It is, It was highest during the peak of the pandemic. And post-pandemic, as students return back to in-person instruction in preschool and kindergarten, there's kind of a U-curve where it's at its peak and then it dips and then it starts to rebound in sixth, seventh, eighth grade and onward. So that trend where it's highest in those early elementary preschool periods and then in the high school period is actually not unique to this district. It's quite common across the country wherever we've seen data points.
Have you done research into whether, I mean, and this also depends on the age of the kid,
sure,
whether it is the kid's fault or the parents' fault that they're not in school? I mean, ultimately, I guess it's the parents' fault, but do you know what I mean? Like, a parent can't force their kid to go to school.
Sure.
So, ish. I'm adding an ish there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I think the important thing is to be cognizant of the variety of reasons kids miss school. It's totally understandable. Some kids just are exhibiting some school refusal behavior. They're anxious about going to school. So it might manifest in the night before the child is like, I'm sick. I don't feel well. I don't want to go to school. Or you know, as they get older, they're just like, they don't go to school. I think it's important to understand why those issues manifest. Is it because they're experiencing bullying in school? Or is it because they have anxiety about testing? Is it some sort of anxiety that they have, separation anxiety, especially at the younger ages with their parents? Like, what is the source of some of that refusal behavior if it's on the child's end? And then with respect to parents, it's trying to understand what barriers they experience. Is it because they're working multiple shifts and that conflicts with school start times and the school doors are not open? Is it because they just don't have sufficient resources to pay for their own gas money to get to work and then also to drop off their kids? There's trade-offs, right? Perhaps it's the school schedules that just don't align with pickup times and start times. So it's important to understand what's the causes, and then so we can sort of help address that.
Do you know how schools treat school avoidance or school refusal versus chronic absenteeism? Because I guess you would have to treat someone differently if they, you know, are not feeling well or they have doctor's excuses versus just a school avoidance.
Yeah, so So some schools and some districts have more nuanced measures of why kids miss school. But in instances of like checking and connecting, one of the goals is to understand like, why is your child not here? Why was your child not here last week? And trying to untangle or disentangle, like, is it because of school refusal or is it because you're experiencing some transportation issues so that then resources can be provided to you or connections can be built for you to help tackle that. But regardless of if it's transportation, a mental health issue, school refusal behavior, all of that it adds up to being chronically absent if you reach that 10% threshold. So if you're absent 15, 18 days, depending on how long that school year is, it doesn't matter if it's any one of those reasons.
You've mentioned mental health a few times. I mean, we have a mental health crisis among our youth. And how does that factor in? Because there is one lawmaker at the Ohio State House proposed establishing designated mental health days as excused absences. I don't know if that would help, but talk about how mental health issues are playing into more absenteeism.
Yeah, so mental health, it was actually one of the first things that as we started this partnership with Columbus City Schools, that was at the forefront of their attention. And that was something that they expressed interest in unpacking. With respect to this conversation around mental health, I think it's exciting that we're talking about it. It's not something that we're sort of brushing under the rug. It is a serious issue. The pandemic amplified it or brought a microscope to it, a magnifying glass to this issue. So it's exciting to see in the policy sphere, for example, or the policy arena, for example, that it's being talked about. Now, whether it's going to work or not, I think that is yet to be determined. But I do think the prerequisite for success is being in a good headspace, being mentally present and engaged so that you can absorb and learn and be an active participant in that school environment. And so as we sort of look forward to how these mental health days might factor in, I think it'll be interesting to see. And hopefully we're able to, if and when or when schools sort of transition to this, see how that really does impact engagement. A parallel that I can draw to this is, you know, like sick leave for the workforce, right? People that take sick leave, they return back to work, are engaged and engaged citizens in their work environment. So I think it'll be an exciting opportunity to sort of see how this plays out as states or districts play around with these ideas.
And One other thing I wanted to talk about was homeschooled children. The number of homeschooled children increased with the pandemic, and homeschooled children are exempt from meeting any attendance requirements, I guess because they're at home. But if the state doesn't care if a homeschooled kid is attending lessons, like, you know, they don't have to, like, check in online or anything, why does the state care if my kid is in school? Like, what's the difference?
That's a great question. You know, I think at the end of the day, we want our students to be engaged citizens. And we know showing up to school is a precursor or forecast whether how successful students are later in life. And, you know, it's predictive of civic engagement. It's predictive of employment, pursuit of higher education or any type of post high school education. It's predictive of income earnings. Right. And so it's an important marker. Beyond just the academics, but the social and emotional benefits it provides children. And so, you know, I think as we're making these investments in school, it's important that kids are showing up to build those cognitive and non-cognitive or soft skills. Because if you're not there, if you're not present, like you can't learn the content.
Would you be, because of your area of research and all the research you've done, would you be kind of... I don't want to say anti-homeschool. I'm trying to think of a softer word. Are you like, do you think being in the school building is better?
I definitely see great value in public education. I think it builds a lot of the skills our students need. But I'm also cognizant of different families have different needs and different sets of circumstances across, you know, the birth through K through 12 space. And so I think it's important to understand. And this applies to chronic absenteeism. What are the unique circumstances that are contributing to families' decisions, and then tailor our supports around that?
And the Crane Center, where you work, is hosting its 12th annual symposium on children. It's in October, and October 16th. It's titled "Strengthening School Attendance." Is this event open to the public, or is it just for researchers?
It is open to the public. It is most of the public. It's mostly actually practitioners that are there, and some policymakers, researchers from this Ohio State are there, researchers from Crane are there. But it's meant to be a community to have community members present.
So, what do you hope people learn at it?
I hope it's an important. I'll be there talking about this issue, and for me, it's to have this conversation, to learn and to understand what's happening on the ground, and share perspectives and what we've learned in interviewing families and in terms of some of the data that we've worked with in terms of the in Columbus City Schools, to share some of that, and then have folks on the ground provide us some background information and context about what's going on more locally in their buildings, as opposed to our snapshot that's a little bit at a broader level. Mm-hmm.
We've been listening to Ohio State professor and researcher Aria Ansari. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And coming up, we're going to talk about some on-the-ground efforts to improve school attendance with the head of a local nonprofit. That is when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. As kids head back to school, we're looking at why so many students are no-shows during the school year. Even with strides to improve chronic absenteeism, it remains a significant hurdle for educators. Nationwide, nearly one in four students were chronically absent during the 2022-2023 school year. Around Ohio, almost a quarter of students missed 10 days or more. Programs like Communities in Schools of Ohio are working toward solutions. Joining us now is Adaro Robinson, CEO of Communities in Schools of Ohio. His organization serves 46 schools in 6 regions. Welcome to All Sides.
Thank you for having me.
So on your website, there's a category that shows student goal improvements, and there's a circle around 78% of students showing improvement in school attendance.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that benchmark for improvement? From what to what? What are you trying to indicate there?
Well, it really depends on the assessment that our site coordinators do when they partner with the school. Mm-hmm. So they'll do a full school assessment in partnership with the principals or any other staff on that leadership team. And then based off of referrals and other data and other information, they'll look at specific students and create a caseload of what they can be doing to help that student. And it could be around absenteeism, behavior, academics, basic needs, and then they'll set some goals associated mm-hmm. with that. And specifically as it relates to absenteeism, they'll look at the data. A lot of it is really data driven mm-hmm. based off what that particular student needs or group of students.
Now, you are working in 46 schools in 6 regions.
Yes.
How do you decide what schools you're in? Do they ask you for help or do you go to them?
It's a combination of both. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the schools we work with, like Columbus City Schools or Whitehall, those have been sort of historic partnerships over time. And then we've had some districts that have reached out and heard about our work and how we connect with students and families and ask, how can we be involved? How can we be a partner? And I've also developed relationships with different superintendents or principals or other school professionals saying, hey, let's talk about our services. Here's how we're impacting schools. Here's our data. Here's some of our stories. We'll do a lot of storytelling and we'll create partnerships that way. So it's a mix of both.
Mm-hmm. And whenever you talk about these 46 schools, are you talking about 46 buildings? Is that what you mean?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And then is it K-12 or?
Yes, K-12.
Okay. So
yes.
It can be it's a variety, sometimes elementary, sometimes high school.
Absolutely.
Where the
yes.
need is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's talk specifically about how your group is working to boost attendance. What have you found that works?
Well, it really starts with the site coordinator. Mm-hmm. I really want to shout them out because a lot of their work is based off of what they're observing, what the data is saying, and understanding what the school is talking about as it relates to their school-wide attendance and what's going on with individual students. Mm-hmm. So then the site coordinator can create a plan to address that young person's challenges with absenteeism. And there, with your previous guest, you talked about some of the reasons why young people may not be coming to school. They'll figure out what that is, working with that student, and also there's a connection with the family as well, because that is a big piece of maybe why a student isn't coming. It could be academic, it could be transportation, it could be behavior, or it could be some other reason. You know, I don't want to come to school, and I'm not going to show up, or I'm going to show up half time. So they'll work on what the issue is and what type of incentives and programming that they could implement in partnership with that student and or their family and the school.
Your group is a part of a national Communities in Schools network, mm-hmm. And the whole goal is to overcome barriers to success.
Correct.
So what do you find is the common barrier that keeps students from getting to school? Is it sounds like there's just so many different factors. There's not one common thing.
Absolutely. I could tell you so many stories of why. There was one I was thinking about before on my drive in today. This was last year. This is an eighth grader. We'll call him Mark.
Sure.
And one of the main reasons the site coordinator was working with him for 2 years, seventh and eighth grade year. And they were telling me this story. He had 32 absences in 1 year, 32. His GPA was like a 0.8, 0.88 to be specific. And over that 2 year period, the site coordinator found out that this young person wasn't coming to school for a myriad of reasons. Some of it was transportation. Some of it was, I'm a middle schooler. I'm not really feeling school right now. And that was probably the main reason. So, that site coordinator, she worked with him in getting his GPA up. He's like, I think he's going into ninth grade now. He ended that year with a 3.0, only 8 absences.
Hmm.
So
what changed?
The intensive case managed support.
Just talking to someone paying attention?
Absolutely. Because teachers do a great job. Principals and administrators do an incredible job, but they can't do everything. Mm. So us being able to come in and be that support and finding what the root cause is. Another young person, the reason they were coming to school, but they were late every day. They were coming third, fourth period.
Mm.
Come to find out, they were getting their younger siblings off to school. So they were missing the bus. So they had to go catch the city bus because they were missing the school bus. I got to get younger brother, sister off to school because mom's at work. So I'm going to be late every day regardless. So there was a transportation barrier. And one of our other school districts we work with in Southwestern, we have a housing stabilization coordinator. And I learned this when I came on this in this job, that there were some families out there that had some challenges with housing. And students weren't consistently coming because they were moving around from apartment to apartment, being evicted, moving in with grandmother, and all this transition was really hurting that those students' absences. So the site coordinator is doing a really good job of partnering with that school district and families and schools to sort of figure out ways to make that an easier process for many of those families.
The kid who was missing first and second period every day because he or she had to get younger siblings to school, how do you solve that? Did you get the younger siblings into a before school care program?
I'm trying to remember exactly what they did.
That's a very interesting problem because I could see that. The responsibility of the oldest child. Yeah.
Well, the conversation, and this wasn't with one of the Columbus City schools. This was with another school, from what I'm remembering, that they had a conversation with mom about
changing work hours.
Mm-hmm. Could she be able to do that? And after some conversations, she was able to do that and was able to get those students off. So now he could get to school or get to his bus, mm-hmm. his city or school bus at an appropriate time. So that was just a conversation that mom was just, hey, I need a job. I have to be here. But she didn't think to have the conversation with her employer.
Mm.
And so the site coordinator was able to be that conduit, or at least that.
To be like, it's okay to ask.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you just need to be told, given permission to be like, yes, ask your boss for help. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I remember reading about a school district in Dayton, and they installed laundry services in their school because they found out that a lack of clean clothes was a barrier for some kids for school attendance. Have you heard of unique solutions like that?
Absolutely. The one, speaking of a really cool project that a lot of schools are doing, and I'll speak to the one that we're doing with Whitehall, Rosemore Middle School, they have a school support store. Mm. I've seen this in quite a few CIS schools around the country, and we see it a lot here. And one of our schools in Dayton, matter of fact, they just started one where they had a partnership, and the principal's like, I have a closet here. I would like for you to facilitate some basic need items, hygiene items, food, because middle school kids, they want a snack when they're in the middle of the day. You know, mm-hmm. they like those types of things, where they can take some food home during the end of the day, some school supplies. And they put together a coalition of partners and suppliers that actually built this school closet. And a lot of schools are doing that to provide additional services for some of their young people. And we're doing another one. Actually, we're having another partnership that's coming up here where they're partnering with a local vendor to help build shelves and just those materials and mm-hmm. bringing those supplies in for the young people to utilize.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about chronic absenteeism with Adara Robinson of the nonprofit Communities in Schools of Ohio. Your website has a quote on it from the founder of the national group,
Bill Milliken, yes.
Yes. And the quote says, "It's relationships, not programs, that change children." So the crucial piece here to the attendance puzzle is those relationships.
That's the core.
And is it sometimes teachers, principals, school counselors just have, they're spread too thin?
In some cases. Mm-hmm. But I like to think that the site coordinator is partnering with those folks as a community of support. And we're just another support mechanism. Mm-hmm. And partnering with those teachers, principals, counselors, et cetera. You talk about relationships. You know, I love to tell stories. I'll tell you a quick one about one of our site coordinators with a young man. This is a recent one. Father died, and he was missing school, had some anger issues, discipline, behavior challenges, and fighting a lot. And it was a problem. And some of his buddies were into that as well. And the site coordinator sat him down and said, look, yeah. He started building relationships and said, look, this is... You fought everybody in the school. Who else are you going to fight? You've already established that you're a leader in this space, but in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Let's build something so that you all can be shown to be a stronger young Black man in this space. And this one young man, he's developed such a strong relationship that the young man, you started to see a lot of really cool changes. His grades improved. His attitude towards his peers improved. He the fighting just wasn't in him anymore. And he said, "This, I need to be doing more positive things." And he's gone on to ninth grade now, and he shared his story with us. And it was, you know, we had, it wasn't a dry eye in the room. And the relationship piece, you could tell when they were together that he really respected our site coordinator, and it was mutual. And but it was a lot of hard work getting there. But that quote is something that is at the root of a lot of how our adults are connecting with young people and helping them get to where they need to be.
What are you seeing from your site coordinators when it comes to the mental health crisis that's playing out? I mean, there's definitely a youth mental health crisis, and there's not enough counselors to be able to address it all. How are you seeing that play out with school attendance?
From a lot of the impact stories that I hear or some of the anecdotes, it really relates to some of the behaviors you're seeing in the classroom or you're seeing in schools. It really connects with what's going on at home, what's going on, what happened that morning where you're dysregulated. Was it around bullying? Is something happened on social media? I had beef with someone on the bus or in the cafeteria, or and it's causing challenges with my mental health consistently. And it's showing up in ways that I'm getting suspended or I'm not coming to school. Another quick story. This is my own personal story because I, you know, coach basketball. Young man, angry, getting kicked, angry all the time. Even on the court, it was hard to get him to regulate his emotions. And talking with his mother, I learned that there were some things going on with his family because they were transient and it was messing with his mental health. He was constantly having to re-engage friends. There wasn't enough food. Cars broke down. All of the things that went wrong could have gone wrong for this young man. His only outlet was basketball and anger. And it showed up on the court. It showed up in schools. So we had to work with him to figure out what services, because the mom had no idea what to do. She was at her wit's end. Single mom, three kids. He's in 10th grade now. He's doing well. But as an 8th grader, we would really have to work on regulating his emotions and figuring out what services are out there to allow him to be a little bit more regulated in how he dealt with things. If he was struggling with math and couldn't figure something out, he would act out to get kicked out of class. Then I don't have to do it. And the working with his mom, we found him a counselor and found him another program that he could connect with. And that's where I think some of the site coordinators are seeing opportunities to connect with school counselors, school psychologists, and other nonprofits that are providing mental health services that the family can connect with. Because what you find out is, and a lot of nonprofits will say it, there are so many services, you don't necessarily know what's available or how to get access to them. So a site coordinator can notice some things that a teacher can't notice because they have so many kids, or that a parent may not notice because they developed that relationship. I may tell you something that I won't tell my mother. I won't tell my teacher. I'm having these issues, these challenges, these thoughts, these ideations that aren't positive. Can you help me? Because we have a relationship that's different than maybe even my coach, my parent, or an educator.
There's one Ohio senator, Willis Blackshear Jr. He's a Democrat from Dayton, and he proposed giving every student 3 mental health days to help remove the stigma from taking time off for mental wellness. The bill doesn't come with any mental health intervention, but it'll allow the student to have an official excused absence without a doctor's note. Do you see something like this helping? Because I worry that it's just 3 more days they're missing school, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure if that's the answer. Especially if there's no intervention attached to it. There are so many services that our organization provides and links to with other nonprofits. That's where the funding and the resources need to go into. I think I heard one legislator talking about paying students to attend school, which I don't think is sustainable. And so mental health days, while it sounds good, at least for an adult, hey, I would love to have a mental health day. But for a child, I don't think that's sustainable at this time without significant mental health programming through the schools and or nonprofits or other avenues that can sustain that. Because it's so deep for these young people right now.
Your organization is a part of a national group that I mentioned.
Yes.
Are there any ideas taking hold in other states where you've seen it helping with chronic absenteeism?
I think so. I was fortunate to be part of a leadership cohort with some other executive directors from around the country and hearing some of the things that they're doing as it relates to absenteeism, a lot of incentive-based programming that you'll see site coordinators put together that are beneficial for students coming to school. One was telling me, talking about, well, I may not want to come to school for the academics. I may not want to come to school for the relationships with my other friends, but that may be part of it. But I'm going to come and hang out with Mr. Adaro, you know. And I know once I was in one school and the site coordinator, we were talking and she was saying there were kids constantly coming up to the door. Hey, can I come in? No, it's not your time. You need to be in class. Right. And I know you want to come and hang with me, but you come in here. We're going to do work. We're going to do these types of things. And we're going to, if you want to be here, you have to come to school consistently. I have an incentive club for kids that do X percent of coming to school consecutive days. You'll get a pizza party. Who doesn't like a pizza party? Mm-hmm. Or you can pick from the incentive box that the site coordinator puts together with a toy or a snack or something like that. Kids love those types of things. They seem small, but they help build relationships and they help build trust that when I'm with this person, they're going to help me and I want to be here. And then that starts to translate to the good experiences in the classroom and with friends and good relationships and good decision making. All those things come as a result of having that additional adult being an advocate for you.
You've been listening to Adaro Robinson, the CEO of Communities in Schools of Ohio. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
And coming up, we're going to talk with a juvenile court judge in Pickaway County about how she's working to get kids to school and hold parents accountable. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. We're talking this hour about chronic absenteeism. As kids head back to school, a look at why so many students are no-shows during the year. Even with strides to improve chronic absenteeism rates, it remains a significant hurdle for educators. In Pickaway County, a program known as Truancy Court works with several school districts to address the problem head-on. Judge Shelley Harsha is the Pickaway County Juvenile and Probate Court judge, where she presides over truancy cases. Welcome to All Sides, Judge Harsha.
Nice to be with you.
Now, I know you had a busy morning because you have cases coming up. You have three cases on your docket today related to compliance with attendance laws right after this. So thank you for joining us. But since school has just started, I'm guessing, are those cases you're seeing today, are they related to last year's problems with last year's school?
Yes. It's not uncommon for a whole bunch of cases to come in the March to April time periods. We don't want that because by that time, we've already lost a whole school year. In an effort to keep things going, we keep doing the cases. We put the parents on probation. We can put the children on probation. Quite frankly, nothing's really done during the school year. So now what we're looking at is the beginning of the school year coming up. Things are really amping up to make sure whatever happened at the end of the school year does not continue to the new school year. We will be taking a look at attendance right around the end of the first 9 weeks. And from there, hopefully we will see some success. If we do not see success before that 9 week grading period, then we will have our probation and diversion officers in place to step forward and help the schools.
Can you tell us the history of how truancy cases are handled in your court?
Well, actually, I had to go back and talk to our chief probation officer, Dave Stevens. They did a first informal truancy court meeting, and it was held in the courtroom, and probation department was involved, and this was back in 2010. All it managed to do was irritate a bunch of parents. And so it wasn't until 2015 that we tried it again, and that was under Judge Long. Judge Long was very active in not only getting the truancy court set up, but also our family treatment court, which deals with some drug addictions. As you can very well imagine, all these cases tend to revolve around some mental health. So way the set it is set up now is we have four public school systems here in Pickaway County. We meet with them once a week individually. So Circleville, Westfall, 1 week, Taze Valley the next week, Logan Elm the fourth week. And we'll meet with the schools. Sometimes it will just be the high school kids that are experiencing truancy issues. Sometimes it will be middle school and high school. And there's different issues with each age group. For instance, when we're looking at the younger children, K through five, we're concentrating on parents. And that's what I've got today. Two parents who have a child first grade, had medical issues, was not getting in the medical excuses, probably got a little lax. So we're starting the school year outright. She's already enrolled in school, doing well. We are charging our adults, our parents, with contributing to the unruliness of a child. That would be a misdemeanor of the first degree and subject to 6 months in the Pickaway County Jail, $1,000 fine. As we tell our parents, we don't want them paying money. We don't want them sitting in the county jail. We want them getting their children to school. And when you're talking about kindergartners through fifth graders, they have the most control. So in conjunction with that, we've also started a diversion program, meaning the parents would come in, enter a plea of guilty to the contributing. They would be on diversion for anywhere from 90 days to 6 months, depending on where we are in the school year. And terms and conditions would be for the child to go to school. If the parent is successful, which is what we all want, and the child's going to school, then the case is dismissed. So this parent's not walking around with a record of contributing, which can be very off-putting.
Do you feel, I know it's probably different depending on the age of the child, but do you feel like some of the parents who appear before you, especially, I guess, if it's a high school student, they just can't get their kid to go to school? It's, you know, it's beyond the parents' control versus whenever they're younger and you said that they have more control. Are you experiencing some parents who just feel at a loss?
Yes, and that's why we really want to get the parents for the up through middle school, because truthfully, if you've lost control of your high school student and you are not able to enforce basic household rules, you've lost control. So if we can get the parents parenting, and that starts in kindergarten all the way up, sometimes too, especially with the older children, their attitude may be, so what? I'm in trouble. What are you going to do to me? Not a big deal. And at that point, you can kind of have a heart to heart saying, you keep it up and mom's going to go sit in the Pickaway County Jail for a weekend. And if nobody's around to take care of you, we may be looking at you having to go to foster care for a weekend. Again, it's not that we want to threaten people. We just want them to realize consequences. You have choices. And every choice has a consequence. And you need to understand exactly what those consequences are, because I firmly believe that these children need to be in school. We talk about mental health. Children have a higher level of PTSD, anxiety, depression, ODD, oppositional defiance disorder. And if they are going to get help, they need to go to the schools. The schools have counselors. They're available. Parents don't have to worry about transporting the children to counselors. They're there. They're effective. So we're trying to do a sell on all the programs and all the services that you can get through your schools, and make them understand that it can be painful if you don't do what needs to be done.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about chronic absenteeism with Pickaway County Juvenile and Probate Court Judge Shelley Harsha. Have you had to actually send some parents to jail and have them pay the $1,000 fine? Has it escalated? I know you said you try to avoid that.
Actually, we have not. And I was talking to Mr. Stevens, our probation officer that's been around for 26 years. Historically, he can think of two parents who went to jail, and that would have been 10 or 11 years ago. And I know when I was doing public defender work 30 years ago, I had a parent who went to jail. So it does happen. For the most part, I think we're small enough of a community that once parents realize we have eyes on them and that everybody that they're dealing with, whether it's a school, probation, diversion, healthcare providers, we're all interested in fixing the problem. Now, having said that, there are a number of parents who have realized they can just take their children out of school and homeschool them. So I have no idea what those numbers are. And I am sure that there are a lot of children or a number of children that are being handled that way. And it's truly a disservice because they are not going to have an education.
Right, because no one really check if a kid is being homeschooled, no one really checks in on if they're attending and actually doing the work. There's no check and balance there, as opposed to attendance being taken at school. Do you know if other counties have a court like yours, or are you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, had I been thinking, I would have asked you to contact Judge Sanders in Athens County. He goes to his schools every Friday. I think his program's a little bit more informal in the sense that he is talking to the children more one-on-one, but he would be somebody else to take a look at. The other thing that you had talked about and mentioned is that the updated House bill and what's going to be done with truancies.
I was wondering if there's something in the state law that would help you and your court be more effective or something like that. Yeah.
Well, the state, back when House Bill 410 was passed, they kind of took a lot of the delinquency language, the punitive language from the courts, and they put it over to the schools. They made the burden on the schools. The schools are getting inundated. So then the schools come back to the courts and say, you've got to help us. And for a while, there wasn't a lot we could do. Right now, with the latest legislature, the schools are supposed to be developing policies to identify how they are going to identify truancy, when they're going to start the triggers. I was just talking to the assistant prosecutor, Lynn Nothstein. She is meeting with our central truancy officer, and there's discussions that would be helpful if all four of our school districts had the same policy. So we all have to work together on that.
And you mentioned earlier about the Athens County judge going into the school. Is that what you mean? Do the parents and kids come to your courtroom, or are you going to the school? Okay.
Yeah, we are going to the schools. It's set up so that the way we do it, it's a out of court session. The court's called to order as though it was a normal work day. I go through, present a spiel about why we're here, the importance of going to school, the economic impact, the fact that if you are 16, 17 years old, you have a driver's license, you're not going to school, you can lose your license over that, those kinds of things. And then we turn it over to the schools so that the counselors can meet with the families, because we don't want to call out individual students. You know, why aren't you going to school? What's the problem? So if there's a problem with medical issues, they will meet with a school official, get the information on how to provide information if you're going to be chronically absent. If it's a housing issue, we will help with transportation. If it's a mental health issue, it's not uncommon for the children to be telling their parents they're getting bullied at school. The schools say, we've never heard of it. So then we have a meeting of the minds. Who's bullying you? What are you talking about? And address it that way.
And I was looking through the court's juvenile annual report, and something that stood out to me is that when you call a child truant, they can be defined as an unruly child under the law. What kind of language are you using whenever it comes to chronic absenteeism, truancy, or this word unruly child?
For the most part, we're doing unruly child. And here's where the schools, or I think people in general, get miffed. A truant, unruly child cannot be placed in detention. So when a parent's saying, you've got to go to school or you're going to go to detention, it's considered a status crime. We cannot do that. If it rises to delinquency, then the child can be placed in detention. And we have a number of children that are, in a sense, oppositional defiant. I'm not going to school. You're not telling me. Well, if it rises to a delinquency, or if they have a delinquency, they can go to our detention center where they are woken up at 6 o'clock in the morning every day, including Christmas. Mm-hmm. And they are starting their school activities by 6:30, 6:45. We have recently had a young gentleman, very intelligent, nice child. He just really wasn't going to get out of the car, even though his grandmother took him to school twice. He wasn't getting out. So he came and sat in a very small room here at the court, doing absolutely nothing, just so he understands you are not going to be out running around on a Friday afternoon enjoying the day. If you're
We're going to have to leave it there, but I thank you so much for your time. We've been talking about chronic absenteeism with Pickaway County Juvenile and Probate Court Judge Shelley Harsha. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich.